Welcome back, everyone, for a new episode of Let's Talk EU Space, the podcast series by the European Commission about how EU space is shaping our lives. My name is Jennifer Baker, and on today's episode, we will take ourselves on a journey to Norway, where we will delve into an alarming phenomenon, the retreat of glaciers due to climate change. Norway is home to some of the largest glaciers in Europe. You may be familiar with the amazing landscapes of the region, either from having been there yourself or enjoying them in pictures and in videos. However, with rising temperatures and shifting weather patterns, these frozen giants are melting at an unprecedented rate. As you can imagine, this is having a huge impact on the local ecosystems and, of course, on people's daily lives. So we really do need to keep a close eye on it. But luckily enough for this, we can rely on Copernicus and its Eyes on Earth, as we know from our podcast series. And joining us today is Lise-Marie Andreassen, Research Professor at Norwegian Water Resources and Energy Directorate. Welcome to the Let's Talk EU Space podcast.
Thank you.
Well, let's dive into our topic. And unfortunately, it's not quite a dream at the moment, what's happening with glaciers and climate change. There's a lot, of course, still to discover. So let's start by talking about how glaciers play an important role for the whole planet and also specifically for Norway's geography. Tell us about that.
Yes. So in Norway, glaciers cover about 0.7% of the area in the mainland Norway, and they have importance for hydropower production and climate research and tourism. The numerous ice ages that we had in the past have formed the landscape in Norway with valleys and fjords, you know, the big patterns. But the present day glaciers are still forming the landscape by erosion and sediment transport that ends up in the rivers and finally in the sea. And shrinking of glaciers in the Arctic and high mountain areas from the mid-20th century has led to very negative impacts on water resources, water quality, transportation, tourism, and recreation many places around the world. I can say one example, for instance, in some high mountain areas, water quality has been affected by contaminants, particularly mercury, that is released from melting glaciers and thawing permafrost. And another example is the shrinking of glaciers and the decline in snow cover in many mountain regions have negatively impacted ski and glacier tourism and hiking and mountaineering. In Norway, we see this summer ski centers of glacier have a shorter season over the last decade. So either they have to close very early or at least have a shorter season due to the high melt that has been there, no snow left. Companies offer glacier hiking are affected, so the glaciers are retreating, gets less accessible, and it's not so easy to arrange glacier hikes anymore.
Well, it's not, of course, just people that are impacted by this. It's the planet as well, if you like, or the ecosystems and the habitats.
Yes. As glaciers retreat, they expose new land and leave behind unstable slopes that can result in increase in rockfalls and landslides. And this may pose risks to hikers or roads and other infrastructures. But the exposure of new land also leads to formation of many new lakes, both in Norway and glaciers worldwide. And these lakes can be unstable if they are dammed by a moraine ridge or the ice itself. And the dam may suddenly burst, resulting in a sudden release of water from such lakes. And this type of event is called jökulhlaup or glacier lake outburst floods. And these floods can be highly destructive and can arrive with little prior warning and cause significant damage to property, infrastructure, and agriculture land, and resulting in an extensive loss of life.
So monitoring is obviously crucial. Tell me about what you're doing with regarding to monitoring and what are the tools, if you like, at our disposal.
We have several thousand glaciers in Norway, and we can only monitor a few of them. So Norway has a very long and rugged coastline and spans 13 degrees of latitude. So it's among the least densely populated countries in the world. And many of our glaciers are located remote, far from infrastructure, and they are not very easy accessible. So presently we measure mass balance. So if the glacier is growing or shrinking in volume on 10 glaciers. Most of them are easy accessible or we use helicopter. And then we also use a measure front fluctuation of about 40 glaciers directly in field. We also do surveys with airborne laser scanning and aerial photographs about every 10 years on some of the glacier to measure the changes. However, measurements in field are labor consuming and targeted airplane campaigns are very expensive. So satellite images are brilliant to get an overview of all glaciers and are used to document the state of all glaciers in the world and calculate changes in glacier area and glacier lakes.
As many regular listeners to our podcast will know, we are talking now about the Copernicus data and how it has been a game changer in so many things. So perhaps you could share some examples of how it's made your life easier and your work.
Yes, aerial or very high resolution commercial satellite imagery are expensive. This is where Copernicus provides significant help to us with its freely available images. So the good spatial and temporal resolution of Sentinel-2, for instance, was a game changer compared to previous satellite missions. The better spatial resolution gives us a chance much more details. So when I look at the Sentinel image now, it looks like an image, almost like I've been there in field. So I see much more details compared to previous satellite missions. And the higher temporal resolution with images every 2 to 3 days in most parts of mainland Norway give us the possibility to track changes through the season. And the images are freely and easily available through EU browser or our own tool XGEO.
Well, I was going to move on to talking now about the benefits for people. You know, as your view on the retreating glaciers gets sharper and sharper, thanks to that Copernicus data, how is that translated into results?
We have used the Sentinel images to create new glacier inventories and calculate glacier changes. Our results revealed that the glacier area of mainland Norway that we derived from Sentinel-2 images decreased 15% since the previous inventory that was based on Landsat data from 1999 to 2006. So we really could see a change and we could update the glacier layer. So the new inventory is used as in NVE's Digital Glacier Atlas for everyone to use. And the Norwegian Mapping Authority has contacted us to discuss the possibility of updating the glacier layer more frequently using our Sentinel-2 glacier outlines. And we also map many new lakes that are not on the present maps that has formed as glacier have retreated. We found over 300 new lakes compared to previous inventory. If I can mention one more thing that we use Sentinel-2 for is that we actually use these images in our fieldwork planning to get the status of the glacier melt and snowfalls. I know the archaeologists use them to see if the snow conditions are suitable for going out to find archaeological finds that are coming out in front of the small ice patches as they are retreating. And it's very useful for us to have the images so we can check the status of glaciers, snowfields and ice patches.
And I guess that means that some of the problems that you mentioned at the very beginning, the difficulty in navigating around these glaciers for tourists and also, I guess, the hydropower, it makes their planning more secure. Would that be right?
I wouldn't say that hydropower are using the images like that, but they are interested in our glacier outlines. The Met Office and the hydropower companies are interested in the state of the glacier, and we can use Sentinel images to document the state of the glaciers very accurately.
Well, that's great to hear. As always, been very interesting to talk to you. So thank you very much, Liz, for shedding light on the deep relationship between Norway and its glaciers. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And of course, a big thank you to our listeners who join us on our journey to Norway today and its awe-inspiring glaciers. We hope you enjoyed the trip. But this is just the tip of the iceberg, as they say. There are many more EU space stories waiting to be uncovered in coming episodes of our series, Let's Talk EU Space, which you can find on the main podcast platforms. So don't miss out. Tune into our podcast and spread the word to friends, family and colleagues. This podcast series is an initiative of the European Commission. Its content does not necessarily reflect the views of the European Commission. For more information on Copernicus, please visit the website copernicus.eu.